All right, everybody, Erev Tov. Welcome to our weekly Torah in Motion rotating, you know, partners here on Zoom. It's a pleasure to welcome Rabbi Bram Weinberg, who is a fellow Canadian, although I think he's been out of the country for a number of years, grew up in Montreal and now serves as the rabbi of the Kemp Mill Synagogue in Silver Spring, Maryland. Previously, he was the rabbi in the Young Israel of West Hartford, a graduate of Yeshiva University, the master's in Jewish education, and a pleasure to welcome him and for our partnership. And Rabbi Weinberg, Vakasha, it's all yours.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Kelman. It's a pleasure to be here and very exciting. Exciting for many reasons. Exciting in this era of COVID as the border between Canada and the United States is closed to cross the virtual border, at least, and to be with you in Canada. Exciting to be with fellow Canadians, and that's always fun. And of course, exciting to participate with Torah in Motion, at least in this forum, an organization that's really doing so much incredible work. Rabbi Kelman, yashar koach. You're really, you and your team have developed such an incredible name, really all around the world, and certainly here in the United States and all around. And I've been a longtime admirer, and it's a pleasure to be able to do something together with you tonight. And of course, the most exciting part is to teach Torah. That's always a wonderful experience. So a nice way to lead into our Shabbos this week. I wanted to share with you this evening a Dvar Torah, Shir, Drasha, which is really one of my favorite Divrei Torah. And it's a Dvar Torah which I feel is critically important for us to understand, just as human beings, as functioning, thinking human beings, and also critically important for us to understand in terms of the development of our own identities in life. Our lives are constantly changing. Our lives are dynamic. We're always involved in a process of change, whether we like it or not, whether we actively engage in it or whether it engages us. We're always involved in change, and our identity does become molded and shifted and shaped over the course of time. And it's important to understand how that process works and what our approach to the shaping of our identity should be. And many of those important ideas start to emerge from a great episode in this week's Parsha having to do with names. And that is, of course, the name change of Yaakov. Yaakov, our ancestor's name, is changed to Yisrael in this week's Parsha. Now, names in general in Sefer Bereishit are very important. From the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, names are important. Already from when God created the world, he names Adam and Chava. It wasn't enough just to create beings, but he wanted them to have names, and names that reflected something about the experience of creating them, where they came from, or what he aspired for them to be. Then, of course, he charges Adam HaRishon to name the animals. Not just human beings have names, but the animal species have names. And that was an important episode. Fast forwarding to Parshas Lech Lecha, we have, of course, the naming of Avraham and Sarah. From their original names, Avram and Sarai, name changes begin to occur. So you see even greater significance. Not only are people given names, but when they are given a name, sometimes it's important to change that name and redirect them in another way, as if to tell us that the changing of a name actually redirects and changes the nature and identity of the human being in general. Fast forwarding again, Parshas Vayera, just giving short examples, there are many more. Parshas Vayera, Yitzchak is born, Yitzchak is name. And his name is of great significance in terms of the episode of how he was born and the laughter of Avram and Sarah. We see Yishmael. Finally, we understand why Avram's son Yishmael is called Yishmael, because Hashem answers his call as he cries out to him under that tree in the desert. Names are very important. Names are reflective of human experiences and the changes in human experience and the change in our identity. In Parshas Toldos, after that, we have the birth of Esav and Yaakov. Each of their names reflects something about their birth. Yaakov comes from the language of Akev, or heel, because he was holding on to Esav's heel as he came out of the womb. Esav, Rashi points out, is from the word Asui, which means fully formed. He came out looking like an adult. And so they called him Esav, oh, the fully formed one. Esav, related to the word Asui or Asa. Going, of course, to last week's Parsha, the naming of the 12 tribes of Israel, also a critically important task, and each of those names is reflective of something about the children and the aspirations that we have for them. And then in our Parsha, as I mentioned before, the name of Yaakov is changed to Israel, and that's the episode that I want to analyze tonight. just to give a context in terms of our parsha, when this story occurs, in terms of the storyline of the parsha, and both because it's important to know, but also because it does inform our conversation later about the particular incident to understand how it fits into the larger story of the parsha. So just in terms of the context, of course, our parsha begins as Yaakov is making his way back from Lavan's house in Padan Aram, back to the land of Canaan. He had been out of the land for a long time and is now making his way back. This is going to be the first encounter he has with his brother Esav since he ran away from him. He was hunting him down. He was ready to kill him. Now he's coming back. He's afraid of that encounter. He's preparing for that encounter in all different ways. He prepares gifts for appeasement. He prepares by davening, praying to Hashem that he should save him. And he prepares for war in case Esav is coming at him for war. He prepares in all of these ways. Eventually, he crosses his entire family, all his possessions, over what's called Ma'avar Yabok, crossing into the borders of the land of Canaan. And that's when the Torah tells us in the famous incident, Vayavaser Yaakov Levado, for some reason, he was left, according to Rashi's explanation, on the other side of the river. After everyone else had crossed over, he was on the outside of the land, and he was left alone. And in that moment when he was left alone, Vayavek Ishimo Adalos HaShachar, someone, some mysterious person, some Ish, wrestles with him all night long until the morning. Yaakov emerges from this fight. So Leah Al Yerecho, he's a little bit injured in his leg. He's limping on his thigh, but he emerges triumphant from this experience, and he's able to go forward and actually encounter Esav. The encounter goes better than expected. Yaakov continues his journey back into the land of Canaan proper. He eventually reaches Shechem. We have the whole incident of Dinah in Shechem. And then after that incident in Shechem, that's when Yaakov goes to a place called Beit El. And the place of Beit El and his arrival there was important. Beit El was a place that was familiar to him. Beit El was a place he had visited before he had left the land of Canaan. Beit El was a place where God had appeared to him before he exited the land of Canaan to go to Lavan's house. And now, in this moment, as he returns to the land and returns to Beit El, Hashem appears to him there again. And this time he appears to him with a very specific mission, and that is to tell him that his name is going to be changed. I'm going to bring up the sheet on my screen and share it with you. I also am putting a link in the chat. If any of you want to click on it and download the sheet yourself, you can do that, but I will bring it up now for everyone to see. Okay, you should be able to see that now. By the way, please feel free, if you have questions, to jot them down. I'll try to leave some time for questions at the end. So here we go. The Torah tells us, Vayira Elokim El Yaakov, God appears to Yaakov, Od, again, because he's in Beit El, and God had already appeared to him there once before he left the land. But this time he appears now, Od, again, Bibao mi Padan Aram, as he's returning from Padan Aram, his first entry back into the land. After he goes to Shechem, he comes to Beit El, and now God appears to him, Vayivarachoso, and he blesses him. What the content of that blessing is a question. Rashi says, based on the Midrash, that he was giving him Nichum Avelim. He was blessing him with the blessing of the mourner's blessing because his mother had just died, but that's a story for another time. What immediately follows, though, is a very important pasuk, a difficult verse to read, difficult pasuk to read. We're going to read it together and spend the rest of tonight trying to understand it. Vayomer lo Elokim. God says to him, Shimcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov. Your name should not be called anymore Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael hiye shemecha. Rather, Yisrael should be your name. Vayikra et shemo Yisrael. And he called his name Yisrael. Now, as you might see already, this is a very cumbersome puzzle. God comes to him and says, Shimcha Yaakov, your name is Yaakov. But lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, but your name shouldn't be Yaakov, ki Yisrael yeshemecha, but Yisrael should be your name, and then he officially does it, vayikra shmo Yisrael, he calls him Yisrael. Very cumbersome language in this pasuk and hard to decipher. Before we go into trying to analyze it a little bit further and what's going on here, I want to make three observations about this pasuk. Number one, The word shame, name, is mentioned four times in the span of this pasuk. It's the repetitive word that's supposed to kind of ring in your ear over and over and over. If you had any doubts about what this incident was really about, all you have to do is read the rhythm of the words, shimcha, shimcha, again, one, shimcha, again, shimcha, twice, im Yisrael yeh, shemecha, your name, v'yikra shmo, shmo again, Yisrael. Four times the word shame, name, is mentioned in this pasuk. Shimcha, shimcha, shemecha, shemo. It's clearly a pasuk where the name is critically important. That's observation number one. Observation number two is that, of course, a name change indicates a change in terms of phase of life, in terms of the representation of a person's identity. Rashi points that out immediately on this pasuk over here. Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, your name is not Yaakov anymore. Why? What is the significance of Yaakov, Israel? What do these names mean? And what is the significance of changing them? Lashon Adam haba b'mara ve'akva. Yaakov is not only from the word heel, akev, but also akva, which means like circuitous way, a person who's a trickster, a person who goes around people and tries to get at something from an odd angle, who ambushes people, who tricks people, who lurks around people. Shimcha, his name was Yaakov, because that was the story of his life. He had to trick his father to get the blessings. He had to trick Lavan in order to be able to do all kinds of things in his house. It's the story of his life. He is a Yaakov. He is Be'akva. He is coming as a person who is tricking people. Now we can analyze that further, what that means about him and whether that's moral or immoral, but that's again a share for another time. But that is the basic story of his life. He was a Yaakov, but now his name is Yisrael. Why? Because his name should be Lashon Sar Venagid. Yisrael comes from the language of Sar or Srara, which means authority. It means minister. It means prince. It means a person of authority, of standing, of stature. So you're going from the Yaakov, who's constantly going around people and try to trick people and get at people from different angles, to becoming Yisrael, the one who's a Sar, who's a Nagid, who has Sirara. So right off the bat, before we understand anything about this incident, you see already that name changes are significant. They represent a transition to a new phase of life, to a new era of life, to a new piece, I guess I would call it, of a person's identity and how that identity manifests in the world. Third observation is that, of course, this name change is already foreshadowed earlier in the Parsha. Earlier in the Parsha, as Yaakov struggles with the angel all night, we have this incident, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayavik Ish Imo Adalos HaShachar. They struggle all night. Yaakov struggles with this mysterious Ish until the morning. Vayar Kilo Yacholo, the Ish, the man, the mysterious person, knows that he can't prevail over Yaakov, and therefore, Vayiga b'kaf yerecho, he injures him in his leg. Vataka kaf yerech Yaakov b'hav koimo, he was injured in his thigh, in his leg, as he struggled with this person. Vayomar shalcheni ke'ala ha'shachar, Yaakov says to him, let me go, the fight is over, you're not going to win this fight, let me go. Vayomer lo ashalechacha ki im berachtani. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Vayomer lav ma shemecha. He says to him, the Ish says to Yaakov, what is your name? The punchline of the whole struggle here, the punchline of the all-night fight is the person, the angel, asking Yaakov, what is your name? Vayomer Yaakov. He says, my name is Yaakov. And now this Ish, this person, says to him, foreshadowing the later event in the Parsha, Vayomer lo Yaakov ye'amer od shimcha. This language should sound familiar to you. It's not identical to the pasuk we just saw, but it's similar. He's telling him, your name will not be called Yaakov anymore. Kim Yisrael. Your name will be Yisrael. Why Yisrael? Why that name? Ki sarisa im Elokim im anashim batucha. Because Yisrael is from the language of Sar, of Nagid, of Srara, of power, of authority, of some type of control over, of prevailing over others. You prevailed over God, you prevailed over human beings, and you were triumphant, and therefore your name is going to be Israel. Now, note that his name is not changed here in this incident. Many people mistake this, and there are Mefarshim that read this, commentators that read this differently. But on the plain meaning, this incident with the struggle of the Ish all night, his name actually doesn't change. All the Ish is doing is foreshadowing the later event, after he crosses the river, after he meets Esav, after he goes to Beit El, when Hashem will change his name, the pasuk which we saw up here in this source, where Hashem officially changes the name. This is just the foreshadowing of it to come. And therefore, even right afterwards, the Torah refers to him as Yaakov, not as Israel, even though the angel or the person just foreshadowed that later incident. Okay. The question that I'd like to pose tonight about our storyline and about the name change of Yaakov over here in this pasuk is, if the Torah tells us very clearly, Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, you should never be called Yaakov again. Your name should not be Yaakov again. Why do we see that later in the Torah, later in our own parsha, and certainly later throughout Yaakov's life, he is still referred to as Yaakov, sometimes referred to as Yisrael, his new name, and sometimes referred to as Yaakov. The Torah uses them interchangeably. The Torah goes back and forth all the time. Now, had the Torah just said, okay, I'm giving you the name Yisrael, had Hashem just said to him, I'm giving you the name Yisrael, so we'd say, okay, he has the name Yaakov, he has the name Yisrael, they're used all the time, but the Torah goes out of its way to say, Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, your name should not be called Yaakov anymore, ever again. And yet we see it continue to be used in the Torah over and over. I just brought you some examples over here from the rest of this parsha. Immediately after the incident in Beit El, after God says to him, Lo yikare od shimcha Yaakov, your name should not be Yaakov anymore. What does the Torah say? Vayatzav Yaakov matziva b'makom asher diber ito. Yaakov erects a monument right there in that place. And what does the Torah call him? Yaakov. I highlighted them. The Yaakovs are yellow. The Yisraels are green. Torah goes back and forth. He calls him Yaakov. The next pasuk, Vayikra, Yaakov, etchim ha-makom, asher diberto, Beit El. He calls this place a new name. What does the Torah refer to as? Yaakov. And again, continuing on in the story, Rachel, his wife, unfortunately, very sadly dies. Yaakov makes a monument for her. And again, the pasuk says, Vayatzav, Yaakov Matseva. It doesn't say Yisrael built a Matseva. Yisrael built a monument, but Yaakov built the monument. But then in the next pasuk, after he leaves the burial of Rachel, he leaves that monument. It says Vayisa Yisrael. Now it calls him Yisrael. Yisrael's traveling, but Yaakov erected the monument. And then the next pasuk calls him Yisrael again. Yisrael again. But then after calling him Yisrael, it mentions Vayu B'nei Yaakov Shnei Masar. But this Yisrael, who's also called Yaakov, had 12 kids, back and forth, back and forth. And I can give you countless other examples. There's sometimes, even in the same breath, in the same pasuk, in a crazy way, the Torah refers to him as both Yaakov and Yisrael. I found this one great pasuk in Parshas Vayigat, a couple of weeks from now, as Yaakov discovers that Yosef is alive down in the land of Egypt, and he's leaving Canaan to go to Egypt to meet him. The pasuk tells us, Vayisa Yisrael. Yisrael started to travel, and he goes to Beersheba, and he brings sacrifices to God over there. He builds a mizbeach. Vayomer Elokim, God says, Le Yisrael, to Yisrael, b'marot halayla, in the middle of the night, in his vision. Vayomer, and he says to him in that vision, Yaakov, Yaakov. He says, God appeared to Yisrael. But in his dream, he called him Yaakov, Yaakov. So in the same breath, in the same pasuk, God refers to him as Yisrael, as Yaakov, back and forth, and back and forth. So how could it be that if the Torah tells us, Lo yikare od shimcha Yaakov, your name should never be called Yaakov again, how is it that we see time and time again in the Torah that the name Yaakov continues to be used? Now, this question is compounded by the fact that we have a corollary case of a name change with a very similar parameter to it, but a very different outcome. The name change of Avraham almost acts like a foil to the name change of Yaakov. When it comes to Avraham's name change in Parshas Lech Lecha, right over here, the Torah tells us this is after the bris bein habesarim, the covenant between the parts. This is as Avraham gets his bris, the way we name a baby at a baby's bris, baby boy. So Avraham has a bris, and he's also named. He gets a new name. His name was Avram, and God is going to now call him Abraham. And what does Hashem say to him? Velo yikare od et shimcha Avram. Your name should not be called Avram anymore. Vahaya shimcha Avraham. Rather, your name should be Avraham. He adds the hey. Why? Ki av hamon goyim netaticha. The name Avram is indicative of the fact that you're going to be the father of great nations. And so here, again, Torah changes someone's name and tells us, lo yikare od et shimcha Avram. Your name should not be the old name anymore. But in this case, you never see Avraham referred to as Avram ever again. Once, maybe in Nach. Once, maybe, and we could explain why it's referred to that way. But never again, certainly not in the Chumash, certainly not in the Torah, is Avraham ever called by his old name, Avram. So in this case, the Torah took it very seriously. Lo yikare shimcha Avram. Your name should not be Avram. And he's never called it again. And yet we come to our pasuk, in our case of Yaakov, the Torah tells us, lo yikare shimcha Yaakov. Your name should not be Yaakov anymore. It should only be Yisrael. But yet we see the Torah continue to refer to him over and over. So how could it be the Torah continues to call him Yaakov, even though God told us, lo yikare shimcha. Your name should not be that again. We're not the first to wonder about this question. It's kind of a well-known question, a question many of you on this call, this video, I'm sure have thought about before. Maybe an obvious question to you, but it's certainly a question that bothered our sages in the Talmud as well. So the Gemara here, the Gemara in Brachos, actually this is a mistake. I'm sorry. It should be Daf Yud Gimel, in case you're trying to look it up after I put Yud Beis, but it's Yud Gimel. Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara points this out, this exact discrepancy between the name change of Avram and the name change of Yaakov, points it right out to us. Tani Bar Kapara, ko hakore la Avraham Avram, over be'aseh. Bar Kapara tells us anybody who calls Avraham Avram by his old name violates a positive commandment of the Torah. What's the positive commandment of the Torah? Shenemar v'hayashimcha Avraham. This is the pasuk we just saw. Lo yikared shimcha Avram, v'haya shimcha Avraham. The Torah gives us a positive Torah commandment. You should call him Avraham. So anybody who calls him Avram is in violation of that mitzvah saseh, that positive commandment. Or in a different version, Rebbe Eliezer Omer over Belav. Rebbe Eliezer argues with Bar Kapara. He says, no, you violate a Torah commandment by calling him his old name, but you don't violate a positive Torah commandment by Yashim Chavraham. You violate a negative commandment of Velo Yikare Shim Chavram. We have the two parts of this pasuk, Yashim Chavraham or Velo Yikare Shim Chavram. So one or the other. Either you violate don't do this or you violate do this, but one way or the other, according to everyone, you violate a prohibition of the Torah by calling Avraham by his old name, Avram. I'll skip this next piece here about Sarah and Sarai, but the Gemara says, Ela Ma'ata, you could conclude from this. Can you conclude from this? Hakore li Yaakov, Yaakov hachinami? What happens if you call Yaakov, Yaakov? What if you call Yaakov by his old name? Do you also violate a Torah commandment? By Avraham, if you call him by his old name, you violate an Issur Deoraisa, Torah commandment. Is that the case by Yaakov? Can't be, right? Why? Because we know that Torah continues to call him Yaakov. The Gemara answers, no. That itself is indicative of the fact there's no prohibition. Shiny Hasam, this case of Yaakov is different. The Hader Ahadre Kra, because the Torah itself comes back to refer to him as Yaakov. Dirsi, Vayomer Lakim Li Yisrael, Bamaros Alayla, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, the pasuk in Vayigash, which I pointed out to you before, the Torah continues to refer to him as Yaakov, and therefore there must be no prohibition in calling him that. So the Gemara is sensitive to this question. By the way, it's really interesting just how the Gemara even phrases the question. The Gemara here should have said, this is just a minor side point. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I just think the language is very precise here. The Gemara should have said, Ela ma'ata hakore li Yisrael Yaakov hachinami. Does it mean that someone who calls Yisrael Yaakov violate the negative commandment of lo yikare shimcha? The Gemara is like playing with us here. It doesn't even say hakore li Yisrael Yaakov. It's hakore li Yaakov Yaakov. We know he's Yaakov. We know he's not Yisrael. He's still Yaakov. So it's like, it's almost a rhetorical question. Hakore li Yaakov Yaakov hachinami? Could anybody possibly imagine that by calling Yaakov you violate anything? He's known as Yaakov. Even in the way they phrase the question, it's indicative of how absurd kind of the question is. Okay. So the question, though, still remains. The Gemara is pointing out the discrepancy, just like we did. But the question still remains. Why is it in the case of Avram, lo yikare shimcha is taken very seriously? And why in the case of Yaakov, lo yikare shimcha is not taken so seriously? He continues to be called Yaakov after this point. So the Gemara does provide an answer here to this question. you know, I'm just going to take a peek in the chat for a second. I see there's a lot of things I'm not looking at in the chat, in case someone has a question.
Fine, it's fine. You can go ahead. There are okay. No questions yet in the chat.
Okay, you wait, let me know. You
yeah, yeah, it's know. Fine. It's fine. We'll take at the end if there are any. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. So the same Gemara, it's actually the earlier piece of the Gemara, offers an answer as to why we see this discrepancy between the name change of Yaakov, which doesn't seem to stick, and the name change of Avraham, which does stick. In fact, it sticks so much that you violate a Torah command by going back to the old name. And it starts with a very interesting Mishnah, which should be familiar to all of you, not because necessarily you learned the Mishnah, but because this text is contained in the Haggadah of Pesach and made very famous by the Haggadah of Pesach. The Mishnah here says, Mazkirin Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos. We have a mitzvah in the Torah to remember the exodus from Egypt at night. In addition to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah on Pesach night to tell the story, we have a daily mitzvah to remind ourselves of the exodus from Egypt. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Hare ani keven shivim shana, velo zachisi shite'amar Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos. I'm 70 years old. I'm as if I'm 70 years old. And I never realized that there's a commandment to remember the exodus from Egypt at night until Ad Shedarsha Ben Zoma, till I heard the drasha of Ben Zoma, Shenemar Leman Tiskores Yom Tzitzchah Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. The pasuk says we should remember the exodus all the days of our life, Kol Yemei Chayecha. What does the kol come to add? Well, Yemei Chayecha, plain the days of your life, means Hayamim. Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life is Halelos, is the night. So Tijalos, you remember the exodus in the day, you remember the exodus in the night. Chachamim disagree, v'chachamim omrim, yemei chayecha olam hazeh, kol yemei chayecha l'havi limos ha-mashiach. And this is the famous line quoted in the Haggadah, that the chachamim say, kol yemei chayecha is not a reference to the mitzvah to remember the exodus at the day and at the night, but rather the days of your life in this world, and then the days of your life in the time of Mashiach, in the time of the Messianic era. Now, the Mishnah is suggesting that in the time of the Messianic era, there's going to be a mitzvah to remember the exodus from Egypt. And the Gemara questions that. The Gemara says, Tanya, there's a Braisa, Tanaitic teaching, which says the following. Amar lehen ben zoma lechachamim. The Braisa continues the conversation here between ben zoma and the sages. Ben zoma says back to the sages, really? You sages really believe that in the time of the Messiah, we're going to still remember the exodus from Egypt? Is going to be a mitzvah to remember it? Doesn't it say in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem, days will come, says God, meaning the days of Mashiach. V'lo yomru od chai Hashem asher he'elad b'nei Yisrael eretz Mitzrayim. They'll no longer say in that future time, that Messianic era, they're no longer going to say, long live the God that took us out of Egypt, right? We're not going to remember that ancient salvation from Egypt in the time of the Messiah. Rather, says Yirmiyahu, ki im chai Hashem asher he'elav asher hevi et zera beit Yisrael meretz tzifona mikol haratzos shidachtim sham. Rather, says Yirmiyahu, they're going to remember the current salvation in the time of the Messiah. People are not going to say, oh, long live the God that took us out of Egypt thousands and thousands of years ago. No, they're going to say, long live the God who now saved us in the present, who brought about this Messianic era. They're going to refer to the present and not to the past. It says, notice, lo yomru od, they will not say anymore, remember the God of the Exodus. They will not say it anymore. They're going to say, long live the God that took us out of this salvation. So Ben Zoma says, doesn't that indicate they're not going to remember the exodus from Egypt in the time of the Messiah? Amru lo, the Chachamim, the sages say back, no, no, no. When it says lo yomru od, they will not say anymore, it doesn't mean they won't say anymore. Lo sheteaker yetzias Mitzrayim in makoma, it doesn't mean that the remembrance of the exodus from Egypt will be totally uprooted and gone and never remembered again. No. Ela shetehe shibud malchios ikar v'yetzias Mitzrayim tafelo. Rather, lo yomru od just means that one will be essential and one will be secondary. That in the time of the Messiah, the primary thing they're going to praise God for is the salvation of their time. Doesn't mean the old salvation of the Exodus from Egypt won't be remembered. It's just going to mean it's not as significant to them. It's not the main event of their life. Now, notice what happens now. The Gemara says from that principle about the way they'll remember the Exodus in the time of the Messiah, we can learn something about Yaakov and his name change. Kayotze bo ata omer. We might say the same thing in another case. Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov. Our pasuk says your name should not be called Yaakov anymore. Ki im Yisrael yeshemecha. Rather, your name should be Yisrael. What does lo yikare shimcha od mean here? Your name should not be called anymore. Well, it means the same thing as lo yomru od in the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Lo sheyaker Yaakov mimakomo ele Yisrael ikar. The Yaakov Tafelo. Rather, lo yikare shimcha doesn't mean you should never call him Yaakov again. All it means is that the primary name that you should call him is Yisrael. Even though Yaakov will still remain his name, it will be the secondary name. It will be Tafelo. Essentially, the Gemara is redefining lo yikare shimcha, right? That was the main problem we had with our pasuk. Our pasuk says, lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov. Your name should never be called Yaakov again. We see him called Yaakov after this point in the Torah. So the Gemara is redefining it now. The Gemara is saying, no, lo yikare doesn't necessarily mean you should never be called it again. All it means is it shouldn't be your primary name anymore. And the corollary case is the case of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim all the way in the time of Mashiach. Okay. So now we raise the question. The Gemara raised the question, discrepancy between Avram and Yaakov. Why does Avram's name change forever and Yaakov's doesn't? The Gemara answered and says, well, we're going to redefine your name should never be Yaakov. We're going to say it doesn't mean you should never be Yaakov. It means Yaakov should be the secondary name and Yisrael should be the primary name. So it ended up resolving the question by redefining the term lo yikare shimcha. However, you have to still ask on this Gemara, the pasuk, the verse by Avraham, said lo yikare shimcha, and we take that one 100% seriously. We don't redefine that one. We don't say, oh, it doesn't really mean don't call him Avram anymore. It's just that Avram should be secondary and Avraham should be primary. No, in fact, the Gemara told us there's an iser, there's a prohibition to call him by his old name. So you still have to ask on this Gemara. The Gemara resolves the text by redefining lo yikare in the case of Yaakov. But you have to ask, why does it only redefine in the case of Yaakov and not in the case of Avraham? How could it mean one thing in this context and one thing in that context? So all the Mefarshim jump on this question, a very interesting explanation, pointing out why in the verse itself, in the pasuk itself, maybe we could see why the Gemara wanted to redefine lo yikare in the case of Yaakov, but not redefine it in the case of Avram. So I put the psukim parallel to each other, so you'll see what the Mefarshim mean over here. The Sforno points out, remember our pasuk? This is our pasuk. It's just deconstructed a little bit over here. Vayomer lo Elokim, Hashem says to Yaakov, Shimcha Yaakov, remember this was the cumbersome part, your name is Yaakov, lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, your name should not be Yaakov anymore, ki im Yisrael yeshemecha, rather Yisrael should be your name, vayikrat shemo Yisrael, he called him Yisrael. So this cumbersome part was shimcha Yaakov. Why does Hashem open by saying, your name is Yaakov, but you should not be called Yaakov anymore? So the Sforno says, ani mekayem lecha ata zeh Hashem shetiyeh kayam. What it means here, it's not cumbersome at all. In fact, it's the opener. It's the opening line. Hashem says to him, according to the Sforno, Shimcha Yaakov, your name is Yaakov and will always be Yaakov. However, lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, your name should not only be called Yaakov anymore, rather, ki'im Yisrael yeshemecha, your name should also be Yisrael, vayikrat shmo Yisrael, he added the name Yisrael. So from that opener, Shimcha Yaakov, it's almost as if Hashem was guaranteeing to Yaakov, before I ever change your name, realize that this name change is not complete. You're not going to lose your name. Shimcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. But lo yikare od shimcha od Yaakov. Shimcha od Yaakov. Your name should not only be called Yaakov anymore. Rather, I'm going to add Yisrael. The Kli Yakar explains this a little bit further. Shimcha Yaakov, lo yikare od shimcha Yaakov. What's the cumbersome language in the pasuk? Midaka'amar shimcha Yaakov, because God opens with this opener. Shimcha Yaakov, guaranteeing him, your name is Yaakov. Mashma sheshem Yaakov yishaer b'mekomo v'lo yaker. It sounds like the name Yaakov is going to last. It's going to be his name forever. V'acharkach amar lo yikare od shimcha Yaakov. And only then does it say your name should not be Yaakov anymore. meaning Elavade Shaba Lomar Loshi Yaakov Shem Yaakov Eliyet Tafel. Quoting the language of the Gemara, rather the pasuk is telling us Lo Yikare doesn't mean it should be wiped out; it just should be secondary. That's the structure of our pasuk, as opposed to with Avraham. In the conversation with Avram, there is no opener where God says to him, Shimcha Avram. Loi kareo Shimcha Avram, kim Avraham. No, there's no opener like that. I tried to parallel the line. There's no opener, Vayomer lo Elokim. That's missing, but that's okay. God's in the middle of a conversation with him. Then there's no opener, Shimcha Yaakov. There is no opener, Shimcha Avram. This line is missing. The first line in the Avram conversation is, Lo yikare od et Shimcha Avram, period. Which is why Chazal looked at the Avram case and says, this is an absolute name change and you can't go back on it. And there's a violation of the Torah if you ever go back and call him Avram, because it's absolute. Lo yikare od shimcha. Whereas over here, it cannot be absolute because we have the opener of Shimcha Yaakov, which guarantees that his name will always be Yaakov, which is why Chazal reinterpret Lo Yikare over here in this case of Yaakov and not in this case of Avram. In this case of Yaakov, they mean it to not be an absolute Lo Yikare, that you could never call him that again, but rather that you shouldn't only call him Yaakov, you should call him Yisrael. And that theory is borne out in the Psukim, because after the Avram name change, his name is never used again. And after the Yaakov name change, his name is used interchangeably. So the Mefarshim look in these Psukim and really find the evidence for what the Gemara says in the actual text of the Pasuk itself. This is very nice. Okay, so we solved a nice textual discrepancy. Yaakov's name continues to be Yaakov. Avram's name is never called Avram again. Hashem did for Yaakov, but not for Avram. We solved the textual discrepancy. We understand the Chazal. We understand why Lo Yikare in one place means one thing and Lo Yikare in another place means something else. Very nice. But the main question of the night still remains, and that is the question of why. Why? Why was it so significant? Why was it so important? Why did Hashem choose, in the case of Avram, to never go back and call him Avram again? We know from the text, okay, so there's no Shimcha Avram banner. There's no Shimcha Avram introduction. So we know, technically speaking, therefore, why Lo Yikare is permanent. And in the case of Yaakov, it's not permanent. But we don't know why. Why did Hashem make it a permanent name change in the case of Avraham and not a permanent name change in the case of Yaakov? We see that name changes are so important to Hashem. It's pivotal. When he changes Avraham's name, he says, never go back to that old name. This is your name forever. Chazal say there's an isser, a prohibition to go back to that name. Name change is so significant. Why does Hashem deviate from that in the case of Yaakov and continue to call him Yaakov, even though his new name is called Yisrael? And for that answer, I want to share with you this beautiful Ora Chaim, which is really the punchline of the shir and the mainstay of the shir. The Ora Chaim is a beautiful answer to this question, which I think speaks directly kind of to the human experience, the human heart, to the shaping of our identity. He begins with our classic question, right? Lo Yikare Shimcha Ki Yisrael Tzarich Ladat Ma Nishtana Yaakov Me Avram. We have to understand the difference. Avram, Yaakov, why is one permanent, one is not permanent? He says, Hagam Shechazal Amru Ki Yaakov Ahadre Kar Lama Lo Nilmod Miyad Ahadre Li Yaakov Hagam Shamar Bo Lo Yikare Ahadre Kmo Ken Avram. He says, our question again, granted, Chazal answer the textual question. They say, well, the Torah goes back to call him Yaakov. In the case of Avram, it doesn't go back to call him Avram. Okay, but why? Why not say from the fact that the Torah goes back to call him Yaakov that we'll reinterpret the Avram one and say there is no prohibition. We could really go back. You could go in either direction. Essentially, he's asking our question. Even after you solve the textual question, you're still bothered by the question of why. V'ulai ki litzad sheshina Hashem devaro hatov ha'amor b'Yaakov me'amor b'Avram b'mash amar shimcha Yaakov. He quotes the same as the Sforno, the Kliyakar, all the other Mefarshim. Yeah, I see evidence of it in the text because they have this intro phrase, shimcha Yaakov. Yeah, I'll buy that. But he says, still, we have the main question, which is why. Right? He goes through all of our stages of our questions, of our answers, trying to fix the text, trying to understand the discrepancies of the text. But the question of why the text is that way, why God designed it that way, is still there. And here he says in the bolded paragraph, V'yira'eh ki yesh tam nachon. There's a very good reason for this, he says. V'hu lama shekadam lanu. Kishemos b'nei ha'adam hem shemos nafshosam. We know that names are very important. The name is something that correlates to the nature of your soul. the nature of your identity, nafshosam. We learn that from Hashem, the fact that God put names into this land. God implanted names into the land because names are indicative of something in your soul. They speak to your identity directly. V'hinei Yaakov, Yeshem Nefesh, Shahaitalo. Yaakov, his name, was something about his identity. It's a soul name. It's a name that speaks to his soul and who he truly was. Just because he gets a new name, a new addition to his identity, to his personality, to who he is, doesn't mean you get rid of the first one. If it's indicative of your soul, of who you are, it speaks to some core piece of your identity, then just because you have a new piece of your identity, just because you change, you develop, you grow, doesn't mean you lose the first piece of your identity. Doesn't mean you lose the first half of your life and everybody who you were, the person who you were before. V'hare yeshnam larishon gam sheni, they both coexist. You don't erase your first name. A name is indicative of identity. And just like your identity doesn't go away when you develop and you grow and you change and you add to yourself and your personality, so too your name doesn't go away. If Hashem would have said, your name is now Yisrael, forget Yaakov, Hashem would be saying, get rid of a part of yourself, get rid of a part of the person that you were and the person that you are. And you can't do that. It's part of your identity. And your identity doesn't just get blotted out and erased and gone away. You could add to it, but you can't get rid of it. His name could never go away forever. So what about Avraham? Avraham is never repeated again. Only Avraham. Well, obviously, says Dora Chaim, Masha'im came Avraham. Ki gam achar shinui shemo le'iloi, with Avraham, even after his name is changed for the better, Lo nekar shem harishon. His first name wasn't uprooted. It wasn't blotted out. It wasn't forgotten or erased. Ki yesh bichlal Avraham, Avram. The name of Avram is still contained within the name of Avraham. Ve'laze yitzav hakel likros lo betimidus Avraham. Therefore, God says, only call him Avraham. Ve'ein akira l'rishon. And by doing so, he never uprooted the first name. Ki bichlal Avraham, Avram. Because every time you call him Avraham, right, it's the perfect case, right? The perfect case, says Baruch Chaim. Every time you call him your new name, his new name, you're both calling him by his new name and his old name. You're integrating the old and the new every single time you use the name. But if you were to only refer to him as Avram, you would only be recognizing his prior identity, his prior personality, his prior name, and not recognizing his current one. With Yaakov, because the names are so different, Yaakov, Yisrael, there's no ability to combine both names. And therefore, the Torah has to go back and forth between them. It has to go back and forth between Yaakov and Yisrael, because if you only called him Yaakov, you would be denying his new piece of his identity. And if you only called him Yisrael, you'd be denying and forgetting and erasing the older piece of his identity as Yaakov. And that is simply not possible. What the Or HaChaim here is pointing to is something so beautiful and so important. And that is, just because you grow and you develop and you change and you enter new phases of your life, it doesn't mean that you abandon who you are, who you were beforehand. All your life experiences, they come together as one to inform the person that you are today. No experience, no event, no peace, no decision, no action of your life can ever be obliterated and erased and forgotten and abandoned. No. Life is about accepting your past, every piece of your past, and incorporating it into the present and into the future. Life is about harmonizing all the different experiences of your life, no matter where they would have been, from the past, the present, and the future, into one harmonious whole, which is uniquely you. As we shape and form our identities, which we constantly do in life, we're always evolving, we're dynamic personalities. As we constantly continue to evolve and to change, we never lose sight, we never forget, we never blot out who we were in the past. There are pieces of our lives and of ourselves that we may not be proud of, the mistakes that we might have made, experiences that we might regret, things that we would rather forget. And people try to forget it. Just move on, forget it, never come back to it, never think about it, never mention it again, pretend like it never happened. But that's simply not possible, says the Orach Chaim, says the Torah. That's simply not healthy. That's simply not realistic. Because the person you are today, even if you become the super personality, the flawless person, the person you are today as flawless is informed and is because of your entire past, including the mistakes that you made, including the parts of your life that you're not proud of. You don't forget about those. Those are part of the person you are today. Yes, you can change them. You can reshape them. You can push them, develop them, and shift them in new directions and harness them in new directions. That's all wonderful and that's great. But they're still there. They're still the driving force of your life and of the person that you are today. The Rabbi Soloveitchik has a beautiful passage in Al HaTshuva where he describes the process of change in tshuva. And he says, people make a terrible mistake. As people try to change and develop and improve in the process of repentance, he says, sometimes one will erase certain years of a lifetime. Ex-convicts, for example, tend to completely forget the years they spent behind bars. They simply decide to erase those years from their past. And he quotes the pasuk about Yosef, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. He did not remember and actually wanted to blot out, right? It says he didn't remember and he forgot. So the Rav is saying that he did not remember and actually wanted to blot out his memory of the whole unpleasant period he spent in jail, probably because he wanted to forget that he ever had been in prison. But when one blots out a part of his past, he also severs part of his being. That's the Orach Chaim. When you blot out a piece of your past, you sever part of your being. His past shrinks and his personality is dwarfed. The great person you want to be today still incorporates every part of the person you were beforehand. And the great person you are today will be dwarfed if you try to forget even the mistakes of your past. An operation of this sort is not easily carried out. A man of 50, 60 years of age can by no means erase in a moment a third or a half or even three quarters of his life. I have seen penitents do just that. And the consequence? They become different and estranged from their families and friends who appear to them to belong to another eon, a different world, a period when they were entrenched in sin, which has now been erased from their consciousness. You can't just erase a piece of who you are. Part of the shaping of identity is to accept every piece of who we are and maybe try to change it, but never try to erase it or blot it out, to accept and to appreciate that the person you've grown into today or the person that you hope to grow into tomorrow and the next day is as much informed by the new choices you made today as it is by the old choices that you made yesterday and last year and 10 years earlier. That's what we see in the life of Yaakov and in this simple incident of his name change. The fact that the Torah wants to continue to refer to him as Yaakov and Yisrael, even after Hashem says, Lo yikare od shimcha Yaakov, even after he says, your name will not only be Yaakov anymore, it will be Yisrael. He gets a new name, a better name. Ki sarisa, right? It's a name of srara, of power, of control, of triumph, as opposed to Yaakov, the meek name, the trickster, the one who hangs onto heels, the one who's tread upon. No, even though you became the Israel, you did triumph. You did reach new plateaus. You did succeed. You never erased the fact that you were a Yaakov. That piece of your life will always be something you carry with you. The discrepancy in the names of Avram and Yaakov, Avram's names are incorporated one with the other, and therefore the Torah never goes back to his old name because both are mentioned every time you say Avraham. You mention Avram and Avraham. But with Yaakov, they can't be said simultaneously, so they're said interchangeably. That teaches us this idea about the conservation of our identity and never blotting out or excising a piece of our past. But you maybe see it somewhere else, and with this I will conclude. You maybe perhaps see it in another piece of Yaakov's life, and that's in the earlier story of Yaakov's struggle with the angel. Mentioned earlier this story, Vayavaser Yaakov Levado, just before earlier in our Parsha, Yaakov crosses his whole family over Ma'avar Yabok, he's left on the other side, and the Torah says he struggled all night with this mysterious Ish. And then they have the conversation about the name in the morning and that his new name is foreshadowed, etc. So the major question, the famous question, is who exactly was Yaakov struggling with over there? On the one hand, it says, Vayivaser Yaakov levado, he was alone. But then he says, Vayavik ishimo, but a person struggled with him. So what does he mean? He was alone, but a person struggled with him? So some have suggested that the reason why he was alone and Vayavik ishimo is because he was struggling with himself. It's probably a famous thing many of you have heard. Others have suggested this in the past, that he struggled with himself all night. But in light of our shiur tonight, I want to deepen that idea of what it means that he struggled with himself. And I want to show you a textual link between different parts of his life. Yaakov, up until this point of the struggle, had lived two very different types of lives. He was the ish tam yoshev ohalim, the calm, simple person who learned in tents, the dweller of tents. And then he was in Lavan's house and he had to use trickery. And he was a person who was focused on wealth and on growing his flock and growing his family, not really on spiritual matters. In both cases, he's called Ish. In Parshas Toldos, when it says he's Tam Yoshev Olim, he says Yaakov is Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. When he comes back from Lavan's house as a wealthy man, it says Vayifrotz Ha'ish Me'od. It doesn't say Vayifrotz Yaakov, Ha'ish Me'od, the Ish. As if to tell us, the same Ish that was Ish Tam Yoshev Olim is now the Ish of wealth. The same Ish that was spiritual is now an ish that's very physical and materialistic. And now, lo and behold, in our parsha, he's left alone, vayavik ish imo, the same word ish. Ish struggled with himself. Why? Because he was two ishes. He was the ish tam and the ish of wealth. And there's two parts of his identity that are vying for attention. And he's trying to figure out, I'm coming back to the land after this critical episode of my life. Who am I? Am I the original Ish Tam Yoshev Olam? Or am I now the Ish that is Yifrotz Me'od, the wealthy man? Which Ish am I? And as he struggles all night, he emerges a little bit hurt, a little bit limping, because it's hard. And there's a struggle in figuring out that identity. But in the end, he emerges triumphant. And maybe his triumph, and this is my twist, maybe his triumph is that he was finally able to realize the Or HaChaim's point. He was finally able to realize that he's both. Just because he's now the wealthy Ish doesn't mean he lost the piece of the Ish Tam that once was. He can be both Ish, Ish at the very same time. And as soon as he harmonizes that, he emerges triumphant and is able to go on with the rest of his life in a beautiful, healthy, successful way. Something perhaps for us to think about as we contemplate Yaakov's name change and the significance of him being called both even after his name is changed. Perhaps to continue to reinforce to us and to realize that as we contemplate change in our life, we should never imagine that we can, in some fake way, obliterate or forget or cut off a piece of our earlier life, no matter whether we're proud of it or not, in both directions. Sometimes, you know, a person gets in a slump and they're not doing too well. And they remember the glory days of their life. Oh, I was flying high. I was, let's say, in the spiritual realm, right? So a person is not so strong in mitzvah. But once upon a time, I learned in yeshiva and I was this and I was that and I was coming to shul. And now, but that's not me anymore. Yeah, I forget. It's not me. And they give up hope. No, you can't. That is you. It's you because it will forever be you. You don't forget that and obliterate that. In the opposite direction as well. As you're growing to be a better person, the pieces of your past that you're not so fond of, you'd love to forget about them. You'd love to just cut them off and never go back to them. But they're a piece of your personality. They're a piece of who you are, and you're better for it. Because if you've emerged successful and if you've been able to see the light, so to speak, you've been able to see the betterment that you desire for yourself, then those things only strengthen you. They're not things that bring you down. Ultimately, the harmonization of all pieces of our life and all of our experiences create our identity and create a healthier identity that we hopefully can use as a springboard to successes. Open to any questions.
Yeah, thank you very much for a beautiful shiur. And there are a few questions. Either you can read them, or if you prefer, I read to you the questions. Either way is
fine. Why don't you read them?
Okay, I'll do that. Sure. Okay, somebody pointing out that Avram was a convert. Perhaps that's why we don't want to use his name. that having come from, you know, I went to Rav Schachter said, that's why we don't know how Avram and Sarah met. They weren't Jewish. Yaakov, Rivka, and Yitzchak, Yaakov and Leah, and the Rachel, they were Jewish, so the Torah tells us. But how they met a non-Jew, so perhaps that's the reason.
Fascinating. You know, okay. There is a larger question in this whole shir, the takeaway, is the halachot of conversion and how that plays into this. We do encourage a little bit more forgetfulness, but I think the same principle would apply. We don't say that you forget every piece of your path.
Right. I'm not sure I fully understand the next question, but does the form of communication affect the names and who communicated them? I guess, well, it's sort of the angel said it, but that's what you alluded to. That wasn't really the name change. Only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, name changed it. But God did both, Yaakov and Avram. So I'm not sure why that makes a difference. iPad, if you want to try me later, you can do so. Okay. Avraham, okay, is a definitive statement, crisp and clean. I don't know. Is it any different? I don't know that the statement's any different. I think that's the question, Debbie, right? I don't know. Okay.
I meant that the pasuk with Avraham was very clear and short.
You're absolutely right.
As opposed to the one with Yaakov.
Oh, right.
Yes, it's much more muddled. And after you have the sword on the kliyakar, you understand it's not muddled. It's Shimcha Yaakov, period. Then lo yikara, then it all falls into place. But you're right. At first blush, Avram one is very definitive, and this one is kind of all over the place, 100%.
Okay, Gershon is actually, I think, pointing out very beautiful. Now the Midrash, the Afanesu, were redeemed because they didn't change their names. So lo shinu et shmam takes on an added twist. Okay. I think he's also pointing out it's Avram, not Avram. You know, we know today people are called Avram, but that's not the same as Avram, right? Okay, very good. Let's see. Somebody wants to ask, okay, Nitzi wants to ask also, you just alluded to it, but sort of, how do we understand the renaming of converts in the context of a Jewish person, especially personal history? And, you know, that means, of course, a convert can't erase their non-Jewish past, nor should they. Correct. Which may be why the halacha says they still have to honor their parents, and you know they come from kedusha, kala lechamur. They've got to be even better. But if you want to comment,
it's definitely the more complicated case, and maybe another shir. But I think the principle is still the same. I think maybe they have to forget certain parts of their religious past, but not necessarily the parts that inform their personality.
Right. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Anybody want to ask to unmute themselves and say otherwise? Want to really thank you very much for the interesting share. Like I said, a pleasure having you. And my regards to all of my friends in Camp Mill. And really nice to see you. Want to wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. And we look forward to learning with you on Sunday morning. Menachem Leibtag, and I look forward to learning you all through the week, and invite your friends, and it's a pleasure to see you all, and everybody be healthy, be well, and Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Okay, thank you. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Okay. Yes.
Bye.
We will post the source sheets on the website afterwards. Yeah, we just got them just before the shir. I'm sorry. So they will get posted. Yeah, it's okay. It's good this way. You follow through. You don't. You can't peek ahead. All right, Laila Tov.
Laila Tov.
What about next week when we have Hanukkah?
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, next week. Next week, Aaron Kohler is giving the Parsha Shir. Dr. Aaron Kohler. He spoke one of our 24 Nates, so he's giving the Parsha Shir next week. Yeah, it's every week. Okay, Tim. So we look forward to seeing you.
Even though it's Hanukkah next week.
Yes, I know. So what? So we have to learn even more. What's Hanukkah? Hanukkah, the Greeks didn't want us to learn Torah. So I always say, I don't understand. People go home to learn. You learn Torah more on Hanukkah, not less. That's my opinion.
But the timing will be the same.
Yeah, 8:30. By 8:30, everybody's the candles are out already by 8:30, unless you got really long candles, you know. But same time, same channel, same Can bring a latke or two if you want to eat, and turn off your camera when you're eating the latkes. But whatever, okay. Unless you live in L.A., that's right. But even in L.A., what time is Ishki in L.A.? That's right. It probably conflicts a little. No, you can light 10 minutes earlier, if half an hour later. I give you a head there if I can. I don't know if 5:30 is a little early or no. L.A., it gets dark a little later than here, I think.
5:30 would be early. It's
5:30 would be early. So you'll light at
6:30. You think so? You think it's...
I don't know when Shki is. And say, I mean, listen, there's all different opinions. Do you light a Shki or a Tzeit? Most people assume Tzeit. But I can tell you, when I was in the YU Kollel, Rav Schechter always, he did not end the Kollel Seder early on Hanukkah. In other words, the Kollel Seder went till 6:30. And a lot of yeshivas, that 4:30, people go home to light Hanukkah candles. Today we light for the people inside. It's not the same thing. At Shetich Le'Regem and Ashok, the whole nature of Hanukkah has changed halachically. So it's not so important. Tosfot already points out that we light at the exact time. Yeah, okay. If you shouldn't watch a football game, but if you're learning Torah, you don't have to interrupt the shiur in the middle to go light Hanukkah candles. It's not like Bedikas Chametz. Maybe you have to do that. Learning that Pesachim, maybe. But by Hanukkah, so I give you a heter. If I don't do those things, that's not me. But you can come and learn next week and light candles at 6:30.
It's about hiddur. The greater hiddur is learning. Hiddur is a great learning Torah is a greater hiddur than lighting candles at the best time. Yeah.
No, listen, they're both important, but they go right. Okay, you're right at LA, but how many other LA people are online? I don't know, but she got some more. All right, very good. But anyways, yeah, same time.